Well, good morning and welcome to Worship Online for this Sunday, August the 21st. We are really glad that you are with us and we pray that we will all be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. In the spirit of reconciliation, we acknowledge that we live, work, and play on the traditional territories of the Blackfoot Confederacy, Siksika, Kainai, Piikani, the Tsuut'ina, the Stoney Nakoda Nations, and the Métis Nation Region 3, and all people who make their homes in the Treaty 7 region of Southern Alberta. We also reaffirm our pledge to stand for justice and our commitment that our church is a place where all people, regardless of race, culture, sexuality, or faith, are welcome. Together we hope that all can find the true love of God and authentic community. Our call to worship. We gather together to praise and honor the Lord, our saving God. Today we sing our reverent thanks to our loving God. As individuals and as a community, we praise and thank our God for giving us a sense of healing and wholeness. When we cried out to you in our sorrow and despair, you turned our nighttime grief into morning's joy. Listening, God, we rejoice in the security you give us because of your past mercy and goodness to us. O Lord our God, we will thank you always and forever. We will not be silent, for your love is so wonderful. Holy God, you have turned our sorrows into gladness and our despair into joy. You have heard us. O God, how great is your love. Let's pray. And so we do come this morning, longing to hear you speak. Speak to us through your creation, which includes each other. Move in us, we pray, and help us to truly hear you and worship you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning in our in-person cottage church, Alec Kerfoot is going to share some thoughts on hearing the voice of God in nature with us. And we're going to read that in a few minutes, and it includes a lot of scripture. So I'm not going to read separate scriptures at this point. But I do want us to pray together and spend a little time of prayer. The written prayer I'm reading this morning was actually written by Dr. Susan Elliott at Christmas time, and it's really for use with the Magnificat, and you'll notice a little bit of that. But it also is a wonderful, wonderful prayer about learning to listen to God and really hear him in our world. And so I want us to pray this prayer together. Let's pray. Great God of the prophets and truth tellers, great voice of truth who speaks through unexpected voices, great power of the universe who works mighty deeds from fragile possibilities, we gather here to know your presence and to listen to your truth. We listen in your presence. We listen for you. Let our listening reach to hear voices of women like Mary. Let us listen for her young voice, the voice of an adolescent girl in an insignificant village in a marginal province far from the centers of power. Extend our listening to hear her where she may be speaking today, an adolescent girl in a village in rural China whose parents really wanted a boy, a girl in a remote native village in Latin America leading the singing in a small church, a 14-year-old working for a tiny wage in a crowded factory somewhere, making our high-priced running shoes. A 15-year-old helping her village in West Africa recover from civil war. A high school student in a U.S. city resisting a culture of violence daily to attend school. Extend our listening, God, to hear the song of truth and hope you are putting in their mouths. Extend our listening, God, to sense the motion of a future you are moving in their midst, a future world put right. Extend our listening, God, that we may receive and affirm and listen with eager ears to elderly Elizabeth, wise with years of waiting. Let us listen fully and deeply for the hope you are preparing. Let us greet your hope with Elizabeth's joy. Let us feel the future moving in us as well. Let us listen fully and deeply for the hope you are preparing in us. Let us listen deeply to the truth speaking in us. Let us listen fully to the hope you place in us. Extend our listening to the deepest reaches of our own souls, God of truth. Extend our listening through the cares that each of us brings on our hearts this morning, and there are so many. Extend our listening through the financial worries and the preoccupations with our health and the pandemic, our concern for our loved ones whose lives are straying out of control, our anger and aggravations, our inundation with activity. Extend our listening into all that we bring today to hear where the transforming truth about our lives. Extend our listening until we listen with all that we are, our whole being. Extend our listening until we hear your whole voice. And extend our listening until we become the voice that speaks as Mary to say, my soul magnifies God and my spirit rejoices. May the listening of our souls enlarge your listening until we truly hear you from the unexpected places in the farthest reaches of the earth and the most territories of our own soul. Extend our listening that we may magnify you. Help us to truly hear you and give us the courage to do what you ask us to. Open our ears. We want to hear you. Amen. So Alec has written Thoughts on Hearing the Voice of God in Nature. And of course, this is hardly a new idea, is it? The psalmist says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. And in Job chapter 12, verses 7 to 10, part of which is our memory verse for this week, we find, but ask the animals and they will teach you, or the birds in the sky and they will tell you, or speak to the earth and it will teach you, or let the fish in the sea inform you. Which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. The Apostle Paul states in Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. This makes us wonder why we often fail to hear God's voice when we are close in the natural world that He has created. Are we not listening? Do we not know the right language? Perhaps we're distracted by other influences, or perhaps the voice is faint and hard for us to understand. One of the reasons that many of us seek opportunity to spend time out in the natural world is to get away from the din and confusion of our regular daily lives. It is a chance to refresh and renew our spirits, but we usually take much of the racket with us. There are the iPads and cell phones, of course, but also the clutter of shallow chit-chat and the cacophony of thoughts, recollections, and replays that haul our minds back into the maelstrom of our regular daily life, even while our bodies walk in the woods. If the voice of God is to be heard in nature, we need to muffle the noise that drowns Him out and listen. Psalm 46 invites us, "Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations He's brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, 'Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.'" And we need to focus on nature itself. Many folks challenge nature rather than strain to hear her. The physical demands of trudging up the steep trail or cycling a rugged track, surmounting the obstacles and gaining the summit, leave little mental space to wonder at God's handiwork or to understand what it may be whispering in our spiritual ears. The feats of stamina may well be good for our health, and there is certainly nothing wrong with rejoicing in the physical abilities that God has given us. But most of those feats can be done in a gym, in the city, or an abandoned gravel pit or storm quarry. Here in the wilderness, we are in the middle of nature, largely unspoiled by the hand of man. It seems to make sense, good sense, to put some thought into the glory and significance of the natural creation that surrounds us. I believe that the natural settings give us a rare and wonderful opportunity to hear God's voice and to point others to Him. Let me describe how such interactions might go in groups. A leader and a few people hike along the mountainside trail. From time to time, the leader asks, "Do you know this plant?" and introduces them to a wild currant bush or a gooseberry plant, explaining how and where it grows and why creatures benefit from it. "Here's a willow tree. They thrive in moist places along a creek. I learned to make willow whistles when I was a kid. Did you know that moose love willows? It's their favorite food, at least for much of the year. If you can find water and willows, and those usually come together, you should look for a moose or the tracks of a moose in the mud. Do you know what ASA is? We usually call it aspirin. Willow bark contains a lot of ASA and has been used for centuries as remedies for aches and pains, headaches and fever. Do you suppose moose get headaches? Those big heads might take on a really monumental ache, especially when the bull's massive antlers grow new every year. A chipmunk darting across the trail might trigger a short talk on the ground circle tribe, who they are and what they eat and where they live and who eats them. And then there are the trees. Everyone should learn the difference between a larch, pine, spruce, and fir trees, aspen, and balsam poplars, where they grow, how they're used. The relationship between fire and pine trees makes for another interesting story. Fire, beetles, and frost." As time goes on, the leader may point out that all these things are related to one another. The plants that grow from seeds, fungi that grow on dead plants, animals that eat plants, the animals that eat animals, the insects and the birds, it's all one massive community. Everything depends on another thing. They pick up a stone, turn it over, and find another smaller world. There are insects eggs, maybe a worm and dirt, the wonder of soil and all the minerals, nutrients, and organisms that live in it make for more stories. Of course, the plants and animals and all of us depend on that soil to grow our food. But there's a much smaller world yet, a microscopic world of bacteria right down to the subatomic particles. Even the smallest, simplest creature is a wonder of detail and complexity. Look up at the mountains. The leaders may be able to name a few and describe the rock that comprises them, tell they how they have been heaved up and where the broken strata show. What creatures call them home? What kind of vegetation cling to their slopes? Listen, can you hear the call of birds and animals? Strain to pick out the sound of wind, the creak of rubbing trees, running water, or perhaps a fallen rock on a scree slope. It all fits together in the music of creation. This is how the world we know came to be. There are many competing thoughts, interpretations, and theories, each one with its own baggage, about just how God caused all this to be. So it may be wisest to just affirm that however he did it, God established this whole magnificent, self-sustaining, self-restoring system of nature. The stories of every part of that nature are totally intertwined. Each depends on others and has a role, its own role, and it plays a part in the whole amazing system. It's like a gigantic symphony orchestra where millions of very different voices blend into one magnificent sequence of chords. Every instrument is important, and the whole musical performance depends on each contribution. It is as delicate as the petals of a wildflower, as awesome as the power of an avalanche, more complex than all the machines of man combined, and it is breathtakingly beautiful. Here is the voice of God. Next, the leader might call people's attention away from the crackling campfire. Walking a little way into the dark, they look up at the dazzling canopy of the night sky. Away from city lights, the stars are brilliant and seem almost near enough to touch. Can you name a few? Find the Big Dipper and Polaris and the North Star. See the massive wash of the Milky Way over our own galaxy. Do you know where to look for the planets of our solar system? Can you find the summer triangle of Vega, Deneb, and Altair? The great orange giant Arcturus is nearly always in view. The handle of the Big Dipper points to it as it swings around Polaris in a great circle, rarely dipping below the horizon. In springtime, it is the biggest star in the northern hemisphere. Now strain your eyes to see if you can catch a glimpse of the great galaxy of Andromeda, the most distant object visible to naked eyes. You might need help to find it. In terms of the heaven, it is one of the closest neighbors. Yet the light you're seeing tonight radiated from that distant galaxy 2.5 million years ago. It's thought to contain about a trillion stars, more than twice as many as our Milky Way. And there are billions of more distant galaxies. Try to get your mind around all of this. The vast dimensions of creation astound and humble us. Do we have any significance at all? Psalm 8 says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them." Is there also a place for us? Where do we fit in? If God has put this whole marvelous orchestra together, does he have a special part for us to play? The Bible says that we are made to be friends of God. Jesus speaks to his followers in John 15, verse 13 to 15. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. What a shocking idea. Not equal, of course. Nothing could approach being equal with the awesome creator of all this. but children of the Father and citizens of his kingdom, friends. And we have been assigned an important role as keepers and stewards of all that he has made. Genesis 1:28-30. And Genesis 2:15 says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over every living creature that moves in the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Psalm 8 continues from verse 4. What is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You have made them rulers over the works of your hand, putting everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish of the sea, all that swims the paths of the sea. All nature suffers if we fail to do our part in the system that God has created. Romans 8 says, starting in verse 19, for all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will continue God's children, sorry, when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. And so do we. We are confused and frustrated if we are out of tune and out of place in God's created order. How can we find joy and contentment when we are failing to do the very thing that we were created to do? Check out the rock stars that you can think of. Has fame and wealth brought them joy and contentment? Unless they have found their place in God's kingdom, you will only see a frenzied search for anything better than what they have now. Does it all really matter if some part of creation is out of place? What happens when one instrument plays out of tune, a very prominent loud instrument? The whole performance is flawed. What happens in nature when something doesn't follow nature's rules? Perhaps a duck will fly north in the autumn instead of going south like sensible ducks. A little frozen ducksicle in an icy pond is what happens. Nature deals decisively with creatures that defy its laws. Does it matter to the Creator? Do you suppose he is happy when his whole creation is out of tune because we're not performing our part? It matters tremendously to him. His son Jesus spoke these words in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He wants nothing more than for each of us to play the vital part that he has given us in this amazing, awesome system we call nature or creation. For us, there is the fulfillment and satisfaction of becoming the friend of God that he always intended. And our part will benefit all the other components of his creation in ways that we cannot even imagine. So there are many opportunities to explore all this. What can we learn from God, from our horses, or our dogs, or our cats, from animals? Water is a major force in creation. It is necessary for life. The world is running out of clean water, and water is a powerful symbol throughout Scripture. What lessons can be drawn from a stream or a lake? Life is a journey, and journeys are important in the Bible. People on the move often grow as they go. We take our trips into the wilderness, face challenges, and share experiences, how can we learn about God on the trail? A beaver pond is alive with creatures and plants. Can an appreciation for this little world translate into daily life? Animal tracks in mud or snow are a fascinating study. What would someone learn about us if they followed our tracks? What if our thoughts left tracks? Are there special opportunities to communicate with God in prayer when we are out in unspoiled nature? Can we bask in a sense of His nearness in the cathedral of creation? There is still much more, and the time is very right for us to learn a new respect for the fine balance of God's natural order. And so we come to areas of growth for each of us. We need to learn more about nature. Knowledge gives us credibility to lead and to teach. Sound material is available in books, online, and probably in curricula. We could consult knowledgeable, not all are, native elders. Several of our own people have accumulated some wisdom that could be shared. We need to shift our thoughts from expensive outdoor gear and gadgetry to an understanding of how nature works. An attitude of wonder, respect, and growing wisdom is what we seek. We need to learn how to work with nature rather than trying and in long-term failing to conquer her. Our footsteps should be light where we go. This is an important 21st century life skill. And our own attitudes and actions speak forcefully, and others notice. And so the bottom line is that we can do more, and we can do it better. I would like to see us engage the minds of godly folk who know and love God's creation and have learned to hear His voice in a special way as they appreciate His handiwork. A study of the Psalms leads us quickly to this, but so does the howl of a coyote on a cold, snowy night, if we're listening. May we have ears to listen. And let me try to underline the point with a little parable. The ants go marching one by one. A little band of ants, red ones I think, bravely trudge away from the anthill on a trek of several days' duration. In the lead is one who is a little older and, we assume, a little more capable than the youngsters who follow. He has completed the course on construction of ant bridges, scaling a slippery obstacle, dealing with large drain drops, and he carries pepper spray in case they encounter a spider. He's also been taught how to set a good example and give proper thanks at the appropriate times to the Creator. So they scramble, with only occasional rest for many hours, days in fact, and always upward. Obstacles are encountered and conquered, crevices are bridged and crossed, tolerable places are found to spend restless nights. Eventually, after many challenges and much exertion, they reach the summit and pause to take in the remarkable view from on high. And then they return over another equally demanding trail, reaching home base at last. Hooray! No one was lost. All six tiny legs on each little ant are still intact. Only a few bent antennae show the rigors of their adventure. Along the way, they have practiced several valuable skills, and cooperation was not bad overall. The leader is satisfied and even a little bit smug. And brief thanks to God is made. It was pretty good out trip, wasn't it? Was it? Little did they know. Their track had led right across the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, and the rugged terrain they had conquered were the bold strokes of the master Michelangelo, some of the most astounding works of art ever produced by man. Even more importantly, what does that magnificent painting express? Its clear purpose is to show the glory and power of God and to remind us of His constant love and care. And although they failed to recognize His message, it was with them every step of the journey. All unaware, they had bivouacked for the night in the palm of the Maker's hand. Their most perilous and ultimately successful bridging of a crevice right under the eye of the Almighty. His glory was shown by everything they touched every step of the way. How much richer their adventure would have been with even a small understanding of the world they had trekked, unseen, unknowing, and oblivious. Thank you, Alex, for those wonderful words. Let's pray. Too often, O God, we are like the ants, making a trek without awareness of your leading and guiding. Too often, O God, we think that we are hearing you, but we aren't really listening. Your creation does indeed call to each one of us. Open our ears, O God, and help us to listen. Amen. Now, Father, as we go from our homes and go to our homes and our work and our daily lives this coming week, by the power and promise of your Holy Spirit, open our ears to hear what you are saying to us in the things that happen to us in the people that we meet. Open our eyes to see the needs of the people around us. Open our hands to do our work well and to help when help is needed. Open our lips to tell others the good news of Jesus. And bring comfort, happiness, and laughter to other people. Open our minds to discover new truth about you and the world. Open our hearts to love you and our neighbors as you have loved us in Jesus. Go with us, we pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, and Friend. Amen.